begin our message this morning by reminding you we started with that challenge. Go into the world and preach the, what was the missing word? Gospel, good. And the gospel is Old English for good news. G-O-S. No, that's not the first half. G-O coming from God and S-P-L coming to talk it out. You know, as you spell things out to say something. Okay, so gospel is good news. Go into the world and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Saved from damnation. Hey, the gospel's got bad news in it as well. And the good news is so good because the bad news is so rotten. Go into the world and preach the whole lot. Well, we've had communion this morning, which is sort of quite a long way from the starting passage in Genesis, but not yet up to the last chapter in the Bible. Agreed? Didn't you quote from the book of John? Didn't you read from Isaiah as well? So we're somewhere in that middle section. So what I'm going to do is take you on a quick trip from Genesis 1 to the end. Or if we run out of time, I've got an artificial end built in here so I can stop before, you know, the all of you think, hey, it's dinner time or something like that. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning God created. Do you realise that's where the good news starts? Those of you who came to our debate against Sydney's leading skeptic on Friday night, he didn't have any good news. You see, he thought we all got here by accident. But the good news is, everything was deliberately made. It was purposefully made. You are not the result of an accident. And then in Genesis 1:26, you learn that God created man. That's good news. You are made in the image of God. Oh, the good news? You're not just another animal. Man is different. Man is unique. Monkeys are interesting, aren't they? I mean, don't you go to the zoo to look at them? They remind you of your baby brother. But you never have much of a conversation with one. You see, man is incredibly different. We are the only creature on the planet made in the image of God. But you live in a world which believes that. You see, if you're an evolutionist, if you don't believe God made anything, then everything is the result of a big universal random chance lottery. You might have been an insect, you might have been a caterpillar. What are you going to evolve into? You're just another animal. You kill spare rats, you cut up spare kids. What's wrong with abortion, would argue Julia Gillard as an atheist evolutionist. The good news, you're made in the image of God. God can speak, so you can speak in monkey's cart. God can write. So don't be surprised in Genesis chapter 5, you read this is the book of Adam. You see, how else would you know about those things? Because Moses wasn't there. And in your Bible it tells you over and over again, we're made as the reflection of God. And God has a knowledge of that which is right and wrong, and so do you. Whether you're perverted or not, you still believe there's some sort of thing called right or wrong. And if you're made in God's image, you are subjects of the King. Why? Because you didn't make yourself. You are not an independent being. You are made, you are the property of the God who made you. Okay, more good news. God made the world very good. It just wasn't the result of God saying, hey, I think I better improve that bit. Oh, look, this part's falling apart. We better do something over here. Oh, look at Pastor Tim. No. In the beginning, God made everything very good. But good just doesn't refer to being morally good. I say this because, you see, most people read their Bible and they think it's a book of theological theory. It's only about theological things. No. It's about practical things too. You see, Genesis chapter 1 and 2 tells you why it was very good. The creatures only ate plants. The lion lay down with the lamb, and they both ate grass, just like the ox. Question, how many bars did they have on the zoo cage for the lion in the Garden of Eden? Answer, none. Do you ever read of Eve running around being scared of mice, mice? No. You see, there was none of that. Fear is not very good. You see, in the beginning, all the creatures were harmless, the lion and the lamb. Which, of course, meant there was no carnivores. If you've ever wondered why people live so long, when you don't get eaten, it extends your lifespan quite a while. Have you noticed that sort of thing? There was no competition, there was no struggle, there was no sin, there was no suffering, there was no death. That must have been wonderful. But you see, many of us have so forgotten how good it was when God made it, we don't even have a perspective on how really good it's going to be when God remakes it. Charles Darwin forgot about that. You see, he wrote a book called The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, or the... Didn't they have long titles in those days? Or The Preservation of Favoured Races in the Struggle for Life. Now let's be honest, you don't live in a world that's like the one in Genesis 1 anymore. You live in a world where you could read the newspaper and this morning there's murders, killings, there's wars, there's theft. It's not a good world anymore, is it? The Bible tells you things have changed. Charles Darwin said, if we struggle now, we've always struggled. And he went on to try and be logical, and he produced a logical book that's totally consistent and absolutely wrong. Because God was there in the beginning and Darwin wasn't. And God tells you he made it very good. The good news is God made everything very good, so don't you dare blame him for anything bad. Really important. Have you been trying to share the gospel with someone who says, well, if there is a God of love, why has poor Aunt Sally got cancer? She's such a good lady. And you know, don't just sort of stand there and sort of look silly. Begin to ask some very important questions. Excuse me, isn't it true that Aunt Sally smoked for 47 years? That might have something to do with it. Or her father smoked. You know, we love to blame God when usually it's the fact that we live next door or we work for the tobacco company. We love to use it as an excuse. But there is bad news in the Bible. You see, the gospel includes both good news and bad news from end to end in your Bible. The bad news is, Genesis chapter 3, man sinned, God cursed the ground, and death entered the world. Now, have you ever wondered why health food products do so good on this planet? That's because nobody really wants to get old or die. You know, my attitude is, why eat health food? It keeps you out of heaven longer. Oh, perhaps I shouldn't say that sort of thing. But in reality, that's why health food is so popular. We don't really want to die. We don't think it's very good at all. The bad news is, the wages of sin is... good. Which means that death is a moral penalty. It's not a biological necessity. Your bad news in your Bible by Genesis chapter 3 is that death is a moral penalty. It is not necessary for you to die. It's actually a penalty for what was done wrong back in the beginning. But what it does mean is if you look around the world and you assume, hey, the plants are better to eat than the meat, No. You see, the Bible says everything's been cursed. If you assume that, hey, I've got everything as it ought to be, then the Bible says, no, you haven't. The fall of man affected everything. It affected our ability to communicate. Have you wondered why many marriages fall apart? Communication, speakability is a real difficulty for many people. Have you wondered whether your conscience is sufficient? Remember that old Walt Disney? Always let your conscience be your guide. I'm sorry, the whole world has become flawed as a result of Adam's sin. So you will meet many people who feel guilty when they don't do wrong things. In fact, don't psychologists deal with people who have false guilt? They feel bad about wrong, not doing wrong things, and not good about doing right things. Amazing. Okay, by the time you get to Noah's flood, the world has gone from good to bad to worse. It shows up. You see, after the flood, weather and many other things change. But that's not where we're going to go. The weather's beautiful today, so we're not going to get into climate change. We're not going to talk about the changing diets of lions and things like that. We're just going to bring up one point. There's a summary of Genesis through to the end of the book of Deuteronomy. All the lifespans that are listed in there and in Chronicles and Kings and things like that, Adam down to Moses, shows a very interesting trend. Up till Noah's day, people lived to be nearly 1,000 years of age. Then after the flood, look at the plummet. By the time you get down to Moses, they're only living 120. And by the way, the rotten news is you're on the wrong side of Moses. Correct? Most of you are not going to get to 120 unless there's blood. Most of you don't want to get that far. Correct? Yeah. Because the world's not that good anymore. But here's an intelligent question. Let's offer 4 DVDs now to choose from. If you missed out on our dinosaur program, this is yours free of charge. You don't even have to use your credit card or cash or anything. You can win it. Okay, $20, $20, $20. And I don't know where the other one's gone to. It's in there somewhere. But I tell you what, anybody who can tell me what the most common statement in the first 5 books of the Bible is relating to all of those chronologies, and it's yours. Let's just make that the first 12 chapters of Genesis, because it's the same phrase. Yes, sir? Yes, mate? Ah, correct. Come and get your prize. Come and get your prize. Really important. Which one would you like? The one with me in it or Ken Ham's one? Okay, you've got Ken Ham's one. You can take that one then, sir. There we are. And make sure you put enough money in the offering to pay for that. He was quite right. Congratulations. And so he died. Because the bad news the Bible is trying to get across to you is that you don't die because you get old. You die because you're a sinner. Whether you are 6 or 60 or even 600, you don't die because you get old. Which brings us to another point. All of those boring chronologies. Have you read the book of Chronicles? My wife and I sat down to read the book of Chronicles 1 year in the Old Testament. It requires endurance. You know, and such and such began, such and such, and he was this old, and he was that old, and so, and began. That boring stuff. But in reality, it's not there to let you find out how old the world is. It's there to remind you that the wages of sin is death, and there's no way out till those wages are paid. And so he died, and so he died, and so he died. There was no way out. I was asked to do a debate at this university in Melbourne. Notice their big banner across the entryway? The evolution starts here. No prizes for this question. Does this Aussie uni believe man was made in God's image, or man is an evolved animal? It's easy to work out, isn't it? They believe man is not made in the image of God. There's the chimpanzee on the left-hand side. There's Julia's boyfriend on the right-hand side. Because that is what many of the leading politicians and their associates in this country actually believe. Man is just another animal. Therefore, people get too old, they're a burden on society, they will move towards killing them, just like they have already legislated the death of young children called abortion. And in fact, don't you get into trouble for killing wild parrots? And yet you get a refund on your medical funds for killing little children who can't defend themselves. That's what happens to conscience when you leave God out of the system. They believe that. We started as a primeval slime. Death, disease, survival of the fittest, struggle for life, etc. That's what most kids are learning in school in this new coming week. In English, physics, history, biology, even in kindy. Don't believe me? Go and have a look at all the pictures of dinosaurs and millions of years, and it's all there. And they're getting set up. The man I debated on Friday night in the Skeptic Society, he would believe that. Life is a struggle, only the fittest survive, and you die because it's natural. You want a solution? You go find it. Try and figure out how to stop your body aging. Use aging gels. You know, spend a fortune getting genes put into you. Isn't that what they're into? Oh, you wonder why we're into cloning. It's really so that if you die, we've got another copy ready left to go. If you're wondering why they're into duplicating body parts, it's really so that when this knee wears out, you get a fake one. When that knee wears out, you get a fake one. When this hip goes, they haven't yet figured out how to put an artificial brain in. But that's what they're aiming for. They don't like dying. They're trying to find a solution. Alright, by the time we move just Genesis 3 and Noah's flood, the bad news continues. God sends the people of Israel out of Egypt and he sends them into Canaan, and on the way Moses is given the law. And later on the apostle Paul, a dedicated Pharisee of Pharisees, says the law came and it slew me. Why? Well, you remember the young king who was doing so good and everybody approved him in Israel, and then they found a copy of the law that obviously the leaders hadn't read for a long time. And then they found out what God says was right, and they discovered that what we thought was right was so far short of what God said. Man, this is humiliating. And the king dressed himself in sackcloth and ashes, because when he saw what God's standards was compared to what he thought his standards were great, they were pathetic. You see, the interesting thing, you haven't asked, why did God give the people of Israel 10 more rules? Because back in Genesis, there was only two rules. One, multiply and fill the earth. And the other, you will not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Wouldn't it be a lovely world to only have two rules? I mean, you think of how many rules you had to obey coming here this morning. Dad, you will not go to church looking like that. There's rule one. Rule two, you will travel at this speed. Because if you don't, isn't there a man with a flashing blue light on his car and he leaps out from behind phone boxes and gives you a little love letter from the government? You owe Her Majesty's government $200 for speeding? Yes. And you've had heaps of rules, even today. But in Genesis 1 and 2, there's only two rules. But you see, then man sinned and our conscience is no longer a sufficient guide. Even our government rules begin to fall apart after a while. Hey, this is not exactly logical, we argue with Julia or the opposition or whatever. By the time you get to Exodus, God gave Moses 10 rules because the people did not know any longer what was right or wrong. I mean, they were slaves for hundreds of years. Do you think they worked for 6 days and took one off? Slaves don't get to do union time. Slaves work 24/7 and they drop dead and nobody cares. So God gives them a rule. You'll work for 6 days and you'll rest for seven because I work for 6 days. And he has to even explain it. It was so foreign to them. By the time you get to the end of Moses, there's another 690 rules. And now the governments add thousands more every year, correct? You see, when you have a look at us, we are no longer sufficiently independently able to evaluate what's right and wrong. Let's jump a lot of chapters all the way up to the New Testament. The good news, Jesus came. Isn't that what we celebrated communion about this morning? Not only did he come, what else did he do? He said that. If people do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through a tiddling little resurrection from the dead. You know, you and I sometimes think the gospel is all about the resurrection. No, that's way down the line to explain why Jesus had to come. Why did he have to obey the law? Why did he have to hang on a cross? Why the resurrection? Well, you see, Jesus said, if people don't listen to Moses, Genesis 1, God made the world good. Genesis 3, we sinned. There's a problem. Genesis 3 and onwards, the wages of sin is death, and there's no way out until those wages are paid. That's what Moses wrote. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and Psalm 90. And Jesus is emphatic. You reject that, then you reject me. If you talk to Julia in Canberra, one reason she would reject the gospel is she rejects all of that. You talk to my friend we debated on Friday night, one reason he rejects the gospel and rejects Jesus is he rejects all of that. You see, God made the world good. That's why sin is so bad. And sin is so bad, and you know it, by the time you see God's 10 rules and you compare yourself to those rules, man, I've broken at least one of them. And come on, let's be honest, most of us have broken a lot more. You don't believe that? You won't see any reason why Jesus would have to come, live and die and rise from the dead. In fact, let me give you a practical example. There's a good question. No prizes again. Which ones are dead? Is it the deer? Is it Des in the middle? Or is it Dave the hunter on the right hand side? You see, Dave the hunter has been a friend of ours for ages. And Dave supplies our ministry with some really interesting things as a result of all of his activities. Dave likes to go hunting creatures. Well, you see, God authorized that after Noah's flood, because after Noah's flood, God changed the rules about what we could eat. We're no longer vegetarian. You're permitted to eat meat if you wish. You don't have to. Alright, so there's Dave the hunter. In August 2011, Dave got in touch with me. Dave's a Christian. I guess by now you've worked out the deer are dead. Ah, good. That's great. It's very hard to hang them up there like that if you don't kill them first. And Dave knew we were going to have a reopening. Our Jurassic Ark Outdoor Creation Museum had been demolished by the 2011 floods. So we shut it down for 6 months and we reopened it. And Dave phoned me up and said, I've got a non-Christian friend I've been witnessing to. But look, he's hung up not on Jesus, but on Genesis. And I can't answer his questions. Can I bring him along? He's a bikie. Can I bring him along? He's a hunter. Can I bring him along? And can he ask you the questions he's got? I said, sure. So Dave comes along with a big crowd, as we took them through our fossils and our garden and everything else we'd resurrected. Dave got his chance to talk to me. Dave got his chance to talk to me. Everybody went home at the evening. And on the 30th of August 2011, Dave sent me an email saying, rejoice, Des got saved last night. Des said, I am a sinner, I need a saviour, Jesus is the only one. Jesus, would you become my Lord and saviour? And I just met with Des last week, with Dave, and I said, how's Des getting on? He said, good. Des is still going on in the Lord. Now, why such a reaction? Remember that verse? Luke 16:31. If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Moses, Genesis. Genesis, creation. The fall. The fall, sin and death. How do you know when you're a sinner? No, not just by what you think inside your head. Here's 10 rules, said God. There's my standards. Now what's yours? Ah, your standards compared to God's standards fall way short. Now don't be surprised that when Des discovered he could believe God created, when Des discovered he could believe Noah's flood, look at that. If they do hear, and I paraphrase it after that, if they do hear, listen, accept, believe Moses and the prophets, they can be persuaded through one rising from the dead. Doesn't automatically mean they will, and it's not your job to actually convict them to become a Christian. The Holy Spirit does that part. Your job is to tell the gospel. It really takes a burden off your shoulder when you know your role and God's role. Des heard from me. Des heard from Dave. Des was convicted by the evidence. Des was converted by the work of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you a quick summary as we begin to finish off here. The world was made very good. Your sin and my sin perverted it. Don't blame God for wars. It's not him who's fighting. Guess who's doing the pulling of the triggers? It's us. Guess who's greedy? Is it God or is it us? Guess who's doing the murders and the thieving? It's not God, it's us. Sin has brought death. And the perfect God then became a perfect man, Jesus. Hey, isn't that a bit of a jump? Well, now you see, we've gone from Genesis 1, 2 and 3 to John 1, 2 and 3. Think of it. In the beginning God created. Genesis 3, man sinned. The wages of sin is death. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by him. You're back in Genesis again. And John 3, for God so loved the world he gave his own. Do you realise you get rid of Genesis 1 and 3, and John 1 and 3 doesn't make any sense. They just fall apart. Des found Genesis 1, 2 and 3, and John 1, 2 and 3 at last made sense. The perfect God became a perfect man, Jesus, who didn't sin. But here's the puzzle. Jesus did not sin, but yet he died and he rose from the dead. Can you follow the logic of that? I'll give it to you. You see, it's very simple. If the wages of sin is death, and one man sins, and God has a rule about paying wages, you do know God has rules on wages, don't you? If they pay you anything here, sir, keep them to it. Because here's God's rule. Let me see if you can tell me the last bit. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, and life for life. One man sins, the wages of sin is death. If one man sins, one man has to die. Can you follow the connection now between Genesis and John? Because Jesus didn't sin, and yet he died. What that means, of course, is if you don't sin, you should not die. But if you don't sin and you die, you are choosing to die. Remember when Jesus said to the people in the courtroom, "You cannot take my life from me. I choose to give it up." You couldn't have killed Jesus if you tried, unless he chose to die in your place. That's the logic of the gospel. If he wasn't dying for his own sin, he was dying for somebody else's, yours, mine, my debating opponent on Friday night. He died for Des's sin. Question, are you going to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Because the gospel begins in Genesis and it finishes in the book of Revelation. You see, the final good news is, even if you get saved here this morning and you've never known Jesus as Lord and Savior, you've trusted anything else, can I tell you something? The really good news is you're not stuck here forever. Can you imagine being stuck on this planet here while there are politicians, while there's death, while there's thorns, while there's poisonous snakes, while there's caterpillars that go squishy when you drop them in his mouth, right? Imagine that. No. The good news is, well, read the last couple of chapters of the book of Revelation. There will be a new heavens, there will be a new earth, and there will be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more shedding of tears, and you'll be remade in the likeness of God. I'm looking forward to that because I'm going to get a brand new body. The gospel just doesn't finish in the book of John or the book of Mark. Don't stop there. Go on to the fact that, hey, John Mackay needs a new body. Look at that face. It may have once been cute and cherubic, but look at it now. I'm going to get a new body. I'm going to once again be made as the image of God, and I'm going to enjoy that. No arthritis. Is that what you're looking for? No back pain, right? Yeah, I tell you what, the gospel is really, really good news. Can I encourage you from this morning, go into all the world and preach the whole gospel from the good news in Genesis to the good news in John to the really good news in the last chapters of the book of Revelation. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that your word is good news, and we thank you that we do not need to rely on our own abilities, our conscience, our good works or anything, because you have done all the work, Lord. We do want to thank you that you paid that penalty so that we could once again have life. We're praising you for that, Lord, and now we pray that you will do the work of your Spirit in us for Jesus' sake, for now and forevermore. Amen.